The sun began to set on the horizon. As night began to fall, day fled away. The sun once shone so bright, but now was fading. But just about that time, my mind began to say, the sun will rise again just as it did this morning. Darkness flees as day starts to appear. It conquers night and gives hope for tomorrow. Light will come and there's no need to fear.
God's sun began to set upon Mount Calvary. As they placed him in the tomb, joy fled away. Lying there 3 days, our hope was fading. But just about that time, my Lord began to say,
Son, I rose up from the grave this morning. Satan fled as his power disappeared. I conquered death and gave hope for tomorrow. Light has come and there's no need to fear.
As we look for the coming of the Savior, we wonder how much longer we can last. Our hope in Christ the Son may start to falter,
but just about that time, we'll hear a trumpet blast. He will split the eastern sky some glad morning. He'll take us to our home beyond the sky. The sun will rise one last time forever, shining forth the light that never dies. The sun will rise one last time forever, shining forth the light that never dies. The sun will rise again.
Ecclesiastes Feast chapter number 1, and we will begin our reading this evening beginning in verse number 1 of chapter number 1 of the book of Ecclesiastes. Chapter 1, verse number 1, the Bible says this, verse number 1, we'll read down to verse 8, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanities of vanities. The word vanity means empty. Soap bubbles is the idea. Emptiness of emptiness, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. That's not a very good perspective on life. If you ask someone about life, what's life all about or how is life? And they say, vanities of vanities, all is vanity. I mean, that's not a very good perspective about life. What profit hath a man of all of his labor, which he taketh under the sun? Verse 4, one generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about into the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray you would help us as we look at your word tonight and give us understanding from your word to help us to know and to understand the vanity of this life without you. And Lord, I pray that you would direct our thoughts. I pray you would bind Satan and his demons. I pray, Lord, that we would focus our attention in this time on you. Help us, Lord, I pray, to receive your word and to grow in our Christian faith. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The scene is the Rose Bowl in California. The University of California is facing Georgia Tech. Both are undefeated. The game is on, and it's a great game. Georgia Tech has the ball. It's laid close to halftime, and the ball is fumbled. And there was a man named Roy Riggles who saw a golden opportunity to pick up that ball. This was his ticket. This was his opportunity. And Roy Riggles grabbed that ball, and he started running. His head was down, and he ran, and he ran, and he ran for 67 yards. Roy Riggles ran. The problem was he was running in the wrong direction. And it wasn't until the first down, it wasn't until the first yard that his team finally caught up to him and told him to run the other direction. And this is what we have in the life of Solomon, the preacher, Solomon. He's looking at life. Really, it's a journal of King Solomon as he looks at life in general. He looks at what's happening in life. And King Solomon had everything. I mean, he had everything. When you talk about a man having everything, listen, folks, he had it all. He had power. He had popularity. He had prosperity. He had prestige. He had pleasure. Anything that his heart could ever desire, King Solomon had it all. And yet he wasn't happy, and he didn't understand life. I mean, here is a man who is drawing his breath and dying at the same time. He just didn't understand everything about life. And so when we look at the book of Ecclesiastes, it's the inspired word of God. But God allows us to see the perspective of a man who is backslidden and looking at what life looks like from the lens of someone who is not walking with God and doesn't know God. And this is what the book of Ecclesiastes is all about. You know, life is perplexed. It's hard to understand everything that's happening in life. And when we look at the book of Ecclesiastes, we read about the journal of King Solomon. We think about the various mistakes that he made. I like what someone said. They said, you need to learn from the mistakes of others. There's not enough time on life to learn and to make all the mistakes yourself. And so when we look at the book of Ecclesiastes, we look at the perspective that he had as he looked at life, but also we can look at the mistakes he made, and we can learn from his mistakes and learn from the lessons that he was taught by God. So let's look at some things here from the book of Ecclesiastes. We're going to go through several of these chapters together. Number one, I want us to consider this thought. Life is complex. Life is complex. The Bible says it this way in verse number one, the words of the preacher, this is Solomon, he's the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanities of vanities, saith the preacher, vanities of vanities, all is vanity. Now, notice that expression there, vanities of vanities. The emphasis is placed here on how Solomon saw life. I mean, this wasn't just vanity. This wasn't just empty. It was empty of empty. It was emptiness. I mean, it was so far down. And this is what Solomon is emphasizing when he looks at life. The Bible teaches us that the sacred place in the tabernacle, when individuals would come face to face with God, was called the Holy of Holies. And the Bible says that when the Lord wanted to emphasize truth, he would say, verily, verily, I say unto you. And then when the Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus and his majesty, the Bible says he is the Lord of lords. And when he emphasizes his kingship, he says he's the King of kings. And here we find in this passage of scripture that Solomon is saying here that life is empty. There's just nothing to life. I can't figure it out. Life is a puzzle. It's a mystery that cannot be solved. Some college students were asked to give a definition of what life is all about. And these one honorable mention, someone said, life is a joke that isn't even funny. Someone said life is a jail sentence and what we get for the crime of being born. Someone said life is a disease for which the only cure is death. I mean, these sound cynical, don't they? I mean, that's kind of depressing. But that's how our world sees life. There's just no substance to it. There's nothing to it at all. Life is vain, is what our world would say apart from God. Life is vain. So why is life so complicated? And it truly is complicated. Why is it vanity? Why is it emptiness? Well, let's turn in our Bible and let's get some answers. Hold your spot in the book of Ecclesiastes and let's go to the book of Romans in the 8th chapter, if we could turn there. Romans chapter 8, and look at what the Bible says here. Romans chapter 8 in our Bibles, and look what the Bible says in verse number 19. Romans 8 and verse number 19. The Bible says this: for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made, look at this, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. And we know that because one man, the sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sin. Because of sin that has permeated our world today, our world is filled with emptiness. Why? Because we were created for a purpose to worship God, and sin has severed that purpose, and therefore we are subject to vanity, to emptiness. The thought on this passage of scripture is an interesting one. It means disappointing misery. Disappointing misery. In this passage in the book of Romans, the same Greek word is used frequently in the New Testament. It describes something which does not measure up for the purpose in which it was created. And so the Bible says that all of creation groans for redemption to wit. All of creation is waiting for redemption. And the reality is that our whole world is really blanketed by the effects of sin in our world today. And oftentimes God is the one that gets blamed for everything that's happening in our world. But all of this is because of sin. The Bible says that we are subject to vanities. Now, I like what the Bible says. Well, stay in Romans chapter 8 and look what the Bible says in verse number 18. The Bible says in verse number 18 of the 8th chapter, the Bible says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." The reality is that brighter days are ahead for God's creation. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, one day that old curse will be lifted, and the Bible teaches us that we'll be in the presence of God, we'll have a glorified body, no more pain, no more darkness. It'll be a wonderful blessing to be in the presence of God. And yet the Bible teaches us that man, the creature, is subject to vanity. Life is complex. It is complex. This was not God's original plan. I mean, think about in our life today. In California, just a couple of days ago, they had an earthquake. A lot of people thought that that was going to hopefully help Kawhi Leonard make a decision to come back to Toronto, but that didn't work. But there's earthquakes all over our world today. There's starving children. There's death. There's pain. There's tornadoes. I remember one time when Emma was smaller, there was a tornado warning in the area, and all of us, we went down into the basement. That's what you're supposed to do with a tornado warning. And I remember we told Emma, we said, "Emma, there's a tornado warning." And she said, "Oh no, a tomato warning. But our world is filled with pain and suffering and hurt. And again, oftentimes God is blamed for these things. Well, if there's a God, then why are there children starving? I tell you why there's children starving: because of greed. Well, if there's a God, then why are there earthquakes, and why is there pain, and why is there suffering, and why is there death? Because of the effects of sin. The Bible says because of the effects of sin, because of the decision of one man in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says that God's creation is subject to vanity. And so the Bible teaches us that we are born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And we don't always understand life. We don't always understand the answers or have the answers to the questions that people have. And sometimes God gives us sparks, and he always gives us principles to live by for who he is, but we don't always understand why things happen to people. Some people will often say, well, why do bad things happen to good people? I say, why do good things happen to bad people? Because all of us are sinners, and all of us are under the curse of sin. And yet the reality is that we don't have the answers about the complexity of the life that we live in. The Bible says it this way in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 14. The Bible says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. God hath also set the one over the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. The Bible says that life is filled with joyful times, and life is also filled with adversity. Life is filled with times that make us smile, and life is filled with times that make us sad. And the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes that it's not, 40 kilometers of good time and then 40 kilometers of bad time. No, they go hand in hand. The reality is, if you're happy today in the Lord and life is good, then you still have trouble in your life. There's some difficulties in your life. The reality is the good and bad, they are one. They go hand in hand, the Bible teaches us in his word. The Bible says that God takes the good times and God takes the bad times. They are hand in hand in our life. The difficulties and the good times, they are hand in hand. And life is complex. We don't have the answers to some of the things that happen in our life. I heard the story of a lady who lived in a house trailer, and the house trailer was absolutely devastated by a tornado. And she had no children, she had no pets but a parakeet. And she loved that parakeet. I mean, that parakeet was like a child to her. She loved that parakeet, and the house trailer was gone. The tornado took the whole thing, took the bird. It was all gone, and she was heartbroken, absolutely heartbroken by the circumstance. And 3 days later, if you would believe this, you can't make this stuff up. 3 days later, a man is driving down the street, and up in the tree, there's that parakeet. And he calls the parakeet, and the parakeet comes down, and it would just so happen that that man knew that that lady owned that parakeet. And he brought that parakeet back home. I mean, a miracle story. Just a wonderful blessing, a miracle story. And would you know what happened the next day? A bird ate that parakeet, and the parakeet was gone. And that's sometimes how life is. It's just so complex. We don't have the answers to life. We don't know why things happen the way that they happen. It's just beyond our understanding. The Chinese tell a story of a man who had a prize horse. The horse escaped, and they said, oh, how sad. And then the horse went out and began to consort with other horses and led them all back to the corral. And they said, oh, how wonderful. And then the man's son tried to train one of those wild horses, and he broke his leg. And they said, how bad. And then a war came, and the boy didn't have to go to war. And they said, how good. And that's how life is. It's just complex. The events that we go through on a daily basis. And so here is Solomon, the wisest man that ever walked this earth. He's trying to make sense of this thing called life. Every event that's taking place, the good and the bad, the difficulties, the celebrations, he's trying to put this all together in his mind. I want to understand life. As far as I'm concerned, it's just all vanity. It's just all empty. There's no substance to it at all. And so here's the pursuit of a man trying to make sense of life. And God allows us to look in and to see the search and to see his heart and to understand the conclusion of all of it. See, where is the answer to life? Where do we go to find these answers? Well, Solomon sought out to find the answers. And right away in verse number 1 of Ecclesiastes to verse number 4, he realized that life, the answer to the complexity of this life, he said the answer is not found in nature. He says in this passage of scripture, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem, he said, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity," saith the preacher. All is vanity. What profit a man of all of his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and the other generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. You know what's happening today, right now? There are babies being born, and there are people passing away. There are babies being born, and there are people passing away. Births and funerals. The Bible says in this passage of scripture, and remember, this is the perspective of a man who strayed from the Lord. He says, all I can see in life is one generation passes away and the other generation comes. All is vanity. Life and then death. Life and then death. When Emma was born, we were leaving the hospital and I began to talk to a woman that was paying some attention to Emma and saying how beautiful she was, and she's still a beautiful girl. And I remember her saying to me that her mother was in the hospital and she had just passed away. And as I was walking away from her, she said, "Well," she goes, "that's life, right? People live and people die." And that's how our world sees life. It's about you're born and then you die. You're born and then you die. There's life and then there's death. One generation comes and another generation leaves. And Solomon said here that man subdue the earth, but the earth stays and it just continues on. Look what he says, verse number 3. He says, "The sun also ariseth and the sun goeth down." I mean, you woke up this morning and you didn't wonder in your mind, "I wonder if the sun's going to come up this morning. I wonder if it will be daylight this morning." I mean, you didn't wonder that in your mind. It's just continued day after day after day after day. The reality is that the earth stays here, but it's man that goes. It's humanity that goes. The rain comes down. The rain runs into the brooks. The brooks run into the streams.
We're glad that you joined us for this week's program. Timeless Truths is a ministry of Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario. We are a refreshingly conservative Baptist church that stands on the preaching and power of the Word of God. We would love for you to worship the Lord with us. We meet on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m., and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our midweek Bible study. If you would like to send your prayer request to Timeless Truths, we would love to pray for you and with you. You can email your request to prayer@kitchenerbaptist.org, or you can reach us by mail at Timeless Truths Radio Ministry, 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. Once again, that is 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. If you have been helped by this ministry, we would love to hear your story. Call us at 519-579-2236 or connect with us through our website at timelesstruths.ca. There you will find beneficial resources and hear more helpful messages from Pastor Jerry Burns. We hope that today's program has encouraged you. Pastor Burns has served at Kitchener Baptist Church for almost 10 years. If he can be of any spiritual help to you or your family, please let him know. Thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time when we open the Bible and discover God in His timeless truths.
Weak ends can make for strong beginnings, especially when you start each week with RE Recovery. They meet at Kitchener Baptist Church every Friday night at 7. Whatever you're struggling with, drugs, alcohol, pornography, tobacco, or any other behavioral problems like anger or depression, believe me, RE Recovery offers the help you need. Plus, you'll make some great new friends who understand what you're going through. And RE Recovery is open to people from all walks of life, any faith or no faith. Anybody who is just seeking to find something that works. I'm telling you, if you live better, you'll feel better. So why not make this your weekend for strong beginnings with RE Recovery? RE Recovery meets at Kitchener Baptist Church, 1720 Glasgow Street, every Friday night at 7 p.m. For more information, go to RERecovery.org or call 226-336-7680. That is RERecovery.org, 226-336-7680.